When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Where do you stand with the Eagles head coach? I was struck yesterday when we had a show open-ended about Sirianni. There were very few anti-Sirianni calls. I believe we had only one. 5 weeks ago, 95% of calls would have been anti. What do you think of Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach?
Well, he does a lot of things really, really well, and his ability to build a culture that players want to buy into is a really powerful thing, and it's why this team, 41-19 over 4 years, you can't argue with that. And I think where he gets into trouble is when he gets out of his lane, when he starts meddling in play calling. He's not good at that. Doesn't have a good feel for it. I think he's good at almost everything else, and it's shown up. And he's been smart enough to give up play calling. He did that halfway through his first year. But when he meddles, he gets his team into trouble. So I think he's got a lot of strengths in his ability to communicate, his connection with the players and understanding if they need to go harder practices, lighter practices. He knows exactly how to handle them. They respect him because of that, because he listens to them and he's engaged with them. I think there's a lot to like about him. I mean, you don't, he's going to be the sixth coach in history, in NFL history, to make the playoffs his first 4 years. Wow. Doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen.
Sixth coach ever.
And he took over a team that went 4-11 and won.
A team that was
a traded their quarterback.
A team that was a mess. In 2020. So there's a lot to like about him. And I think the conversation is going to go from is he going to get fired to when's he getting a contract extension?
It's wild.
Wow.
Ruben, what about the what I call antics? We can call it personality, antics, theatrics, whatever. So it struck me that since he was called out by many for having his kids at the podium, it certainly appears he's trying to dial it back. Do you notice that, and how sustainable do you think that will be given his natural instincts?
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever entirely go away. It's just who he is. But he also knows that it can get him in trouble. And the thing is, the players don't care. I mean, they don't care what he does. It's irrelevant to them. And as long as that's the case, then it really doesn't matter, yelling at the fans or having his kids up there. I think those things are things that fans notice and have strong opinions about. But players, I mean, I'm in the locker room every day. The players love this guy. They love his passion. They love his energy. They love his personality. It's one of the reasons they keep winning. So, I mean, I think he is who he is. I think there's going to be moments where he does things that are going to give you a lot to talk about the next morning.
Sure, sure. How does this Rams team compared to the Commanders team?
They're better, and they're playing better. And, you know, those two receivers, I mean,
the Rams team is better
right now. I mean, they're playing. I think Washington's trending downward.
Yeah.
Well, the Rams lost to Miami a week ago.
They did. They did. But
Miami's pretty good.
They're getting guys back. The Rams have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp both back. It's going to be a big challenge for the secondary, which has been incredible so far. And, you know, when you go on the West Coast, it's always a long trip. It's a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if they can shut down those two receivers, I mean, I think these corners are for real. We know that. But this will be the biggest challenge they face because they have two really good guys. So I think it's going to be a fun game. And I think they're going to win this game. The two that I'm fascinated by are the Ravens and Steelers.
Totally.
If you could split those two games, you're in really good. Yeah, the Panthers coming up. You got the Giants again.
You're kind of selling us short, saying if you can split those two games against the Ravens.
I'm saying
and the
if.
Steelers.
I mean, you'll take.
I mean, I really.
Not
if, if they split those two games and they win it, the Rams, they're probably going 14-3 or 13-4 or something.
13-4 probably won't get you the number one seed unless the Lions lose a game that they probably shouldn't lose. But that's possible. Well, so
do the Lions have the inside track for the tiebreaker, or do the Eagles?
So this game is actually huge for that. The Eagles, if they lose to the Rams because of common opponents, they need the Lions to. They can't win it at 14-3. If they win this game, it can still play out where if both teams are 14-3, they can get the tiebreaker.
Huh.
But the Rams game. So what has to happen is we need Detroit to lose to Green Bay.
Okay.
Because of a common opponent thing, too. That's another big.
Gotcha.
So this game is big and that game is big.
All right, so a lot on the table here today as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's. Reminder, it's never too early to book that holiday party. you know, tis the season. Next week is Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah all coming up soon as well. Book now for all the party availabilities from November through January at Chickies and Pete's, all the different locations. We're at the South Philly Chickies and Pete's today. But get a party upgrade with Chickies and Pete's. Details online at chickiesandpete's.com. Let's talk to Rick in Easton this morning. Reminder, Merrill Reese joins us here at Chickies in an hour. Good morning, Rick.
Whoever thought after that Tampa Bay playoff loss yesterday that in week 12 we'd be talking about this?
Last year. Yeah. No, I hear you, man. It's a great rebound, Rick. They other than
even
that,
after week four, like after Tampa Bay this season, who'd have thought we'd be here?
I know.
And that's why I think that culture that Nick has brought in is so big, because a big narrative coming into the season was how are they going to respond to the collapse last year, and here we are 8-2.
Yep.
Could not agree more, Ruben. You know, who would have thought that this 8-2 record is they're playing a lot better than they did when they were 10-1 last year.
Yeah,
anyway,
no doubt.
3 and 4 years ago, the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide were arguably way ahead of the rest of the pack for the top two teams in the country. We got players like Carter, Nolan Smith, Dean, and Jordan Davis, I know, still have to turn the corner.
He's playing okay.
But you also have Dickerson, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts. Everybody loves to attach him to Oklahoma. Let's not forget, he was at Bama for 3 years. Yes,
totally.
He had to do a thing.
Yep.
But you know what? Jalen Hurts didn't do what I saw a lot of players and officials do when they get downgraded. He never pouted. He stayed professional when they replaced him with Tua. You add.
By the way, same thing when he entered the NFL as a backup, Rick. He handled it really well being Carson's backup.
Did.
That was
and
admirable.
You add that Bulldog defense with Mitchell and DeJean, arguably the top two corners and D-backs in college football, with the linebacker play. If this team can start to increase the takeaways, which we sorely missed the last year and a half, and flipping the field for this offense, the sky is the limit. Isn't it interesting? All of a sudden, we're one game behind Kansas City, and we're right there with Detroit. So I'm thinking, as this defense continues to get better under Fangio, I'm telling you, this team could be a tough out for anybody.
Well, they could be, Rick. The one caveat is if we are to take the Eagles 8-2 as a normal 8-2, and I'm not sure it is. They have beaten a lot of garbage teams.
But there's just garbage teams.
I understand
that. Like, the
vast
majority of teams in the NFL right now are not
that
good.
I understand.
You know?
Rick, here's an element of this season that I do still worry about, and I wonder how much people have thought about. Who are the one or two NFC teams that haven't yet shown their goodness or greatness that still can? Green Bay made a tremendous jump last year in the season. They still worry me.
The Niners on the fringes. Like, there's those kind of teams. But when you look
at the Rams.
I agree with that. But right now, I mean, the Eagles are two games up on the three seed.
It's
the Eagles and Lions above right now.
There's no question about
that. And they have that head-to-head over the Packers, which could come in handy.
Huge.
Let me answer that question. Great point with this. We were saying 5-6 weeks ago, as we were playing weak teams, how about the Eagles? Aren't they a team you want on your schedule? Because they're weak and unorganized. Guess what? Teams aren't saying that anymore.
No, I think they've got concern on the birds. Rick, give me an answer here. What was wild in sports?
Since my earthquake was taken, my spinoff answer was in 1972, the Munich Olympics, when the Israeli team was taken hostage at the Olympics.
It was. Yeah, James, I need a ruling here.
I think that's crossed over into the dark variety.
We did say we were trying to avoid...
Yeah, like we're trying to avoid the like Ray Carruth type things. Like, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. That was horrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm going to throw out Cal Stanford out there.
That's a great answer.
That could have won.
That's a massive answer. Exactly what we're looking for. Right?
I still watch that video and it just blows my mind.
Yeah, that could have won.
Me too.
John, that was the final play of whose college football career?
John Elway.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Final play.
Wild.
Or did he go to a bowl game? I think it was the final play of his career.
I thought it was the final play.
I think they might have missed a bowl game that year because their record wasn't good enough because of that play.
I think Ron Rivera was on the field for that play.
Wow. Yeah.
Did he run someone over?
Probably.
Did he get run over?
Well, probably tried.
That's pretty wild for Elway, though. So
he nailed a couple trombone players.
He ends his college career with that game, and then ends his pro career winning the Super Bowl. That's a pretty.
That is wild.
Yeah, right.
You know what's another wild? James, do you know that his dad coached against him when he was in college football?
No, I didn't know.
And it was a very tough spot for the
Jack Elway.
So you know, part of his
San Jose State versus
it was one of those schools. Yeah, and part of Jack Elway's thing is like. Go get the quarterback.
Wow.
And like the quarterback was his son, who was also being groomed to be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, that's wild.
So that was like a wild dynamic.
Wonder and what mom's thoughts were on that.
And then my son alone.
Yes. And here's where it got even messier years later when Jack Elway became Stanford's coach and then they fired him. John Elway then had a very contentious relationship with Stanford for years because they had fired his dad. 215-592-9494. All right, up ahead, more from Shams, what he said yesterday, plus Mike Quick. At 8:45 today, and a lot more with Ruben here, including a big-picture question about this Eagles season. We'll get to that as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's. Please join us. We're at the Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Great to be with you. Birds at the half. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
If you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, has you covered with the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack. Now, every Wednesday, you can get parlay profit boosts on everything from spreads to over, unders, and even player props. So don't let the weekends have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack. And who knows, it might just become your favorite day. Look for the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boosts. New to FanDuel, visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, that's J-O-N-R, and make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is also the official partner of 94WIP. That's FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to take full advantage of the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack.
Hey, Jenna Cameron here. All right, it's not just football season, and it's not just the holiday season. It's also another great season, and that's tire season. Great time of the year. And at United Tire and Service, they've got all the tires and all the service you could possibly need. So get your car to United Tire and Service. It's not just United Tire. It's not just service. It's both. Tires and service. They do it all, and they have it all, from new tires to full inspections and much more. And, you know, I tell you all the time, pretty much every day, take care of your car, and it will take care of you. And what that simply means is if you manage the care of your car in a good way, stay on top of it, take it to the right place, like United Tire and Service, well, then obviously it is much more apt to run for a long time, hopefully an extra 20, 30, 50, 100,000 miles, and save you a lot of money in the long run because you won't have to buy another new car anytime soon. So get your car to United Tire and Service for the best prices, for the experts that they provide, obviously, with their technicians, their wonderful care, and great people that they have there. UnitedTire.com. 10 different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Find the location nearest you at UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United.
Brought to you by Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Well, Joel Embiid is 30 years old. He's been in the NBA for a decade. And he needed to be called out by 24-year-old Tyrese Maxey, according to ESPN's Shams Charania. In a long team meeting, Maxey challenged Embiid reportedly to be on time for team activities, admonishing Embiid for being late to everything. Charania reported Embiid accepted the message but stated he's sometimes confused about what the Sixers are trying to execute on the court. Maxey upgraded to questionable for tonight's game at Memphis, so maybe Maxey, Embiid, and Paul George might be on the same court at the same time. You're only miles away from your perfect getaway. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars, live music, and more. Start planning at theborgata.com. Weather brought to you by Window Nation. Mix of sun and clouds early, high 63, currently 54. Right now, save 50% off all window styles, plus zero interest for 5 years. Schedule an estimate at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Listen to every Eagles game on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94WIP.
I love it. Little Doors action. I also love an 8-2 football team, but I don't love what we know is going on with Joel Embiid, which is whatever is past debacle. John, what would be, you're a wordsmith, your mom taught English growing up. What would be the one word to best sum up, because debacle's not enough. It was a debacle a year ago.
Oh, my God.
What word are we at now for Joel and the Sixers?
Great.
Calamitous?
Ooh. I like that.
Cataclysmic?
Cataclysm. but it's almost it's almost a joke. It's almost such a joke. A laughable cataclysm.
Yeah.
A laughable calamity that could have been prevented by just show up in shape, man.
Yeah, it's brutal, man.
Show up in shape.
Well, we have two different Twitter poll questions of the day that speak to the Joel thing, and they're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you think the Sixers should try to trade Embiid immediately? Yes or no? Second poll question, do you think this will be Joel's last year with the Sixers? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Hey, reminder, tomorrow, of course, 7:30, Jason Kelce always in studio with us, 7:30 to 8:30. But tomorrow at 8, we'll also have Corey Clement in studio with us. Met him last night at an event. Wonderful person. I mean, obviously, what a massive role he had in the history of the Eagles. You can say without him, for maybe 10 different players, they might not have won that Super Bowl. You know, he's pretty high on the list. I mean, that specific game. Look, who knows? Who knows if they didn't have that guy or that guy or that guy? Who knows if they would have won it? But we know this. Corey Clement had a massive role that evening, and he had a big role that season. So we're looking forward to having him in studio tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and he'll be fielding phone calls. First time for us as a show to have him in studio with us. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Reuben Frank with us the remainder of this hour. Merrill Reese at 8. Mike Quick at 8:45. Scott in Richboro right now. Scott, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Scott.
Just wanted to touch on the Eagles' defense this year.
Sure.
Not only just what Vic's doing with the team, I just feel like the camaraderie there. Every time someone does something, everybody's right there celebrating with them. It reminds me a lot of 2017 and just the overall vibes that the team's given out.
Well, Scott, before you continue, let me turn to Rube. So, Rube, I've gotten that feel the last few weeks as well. Is that accurate? You're down there with them. It seems like these guys really get along.
They do, and they're all young. Other than Slay and BG, I mean, it's a really young group. When they played Dallas, Zach Bond was the oldest defensive starter at 27.
It's insane.
It's the youngest defense in the league, and I think that plays, you know, you have a lot of guys the same age. They're all very close. And the thing is, they've only played six games. I mean, you know, Cooper DeJean's only played the last, like, five games.
Right.
They're going to get better. They're a bunch of young guys that are improving. They're doing it together. They're very close. And they're really, really well coached.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, that's a big part, I believe, of what's going on right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. No,
and being close, and I actually talked to Reed Blankenship about this the other day. Being close leads to better play because you learn to communicate with each other. He said, you know, when you're hanging out off the field, you build up that relationship. And then when you're on the field, the communication is really easy because you're close to the guy next to you.
Yeah.
It feels that way when you watch. I mean, like, it's not just the celebrations, it's the way they play together.
Yeah.
I mean, they gang tackle, they fly to the ball together. There are no missed assignments. Like, it really does feel like a unit.
I agree. Hey, Scott, you can win these Post Malone tickets. What was wild in sports?
Wild, you guys were talking about it earlier. A three-point game in the Super Bowl. We decided to run a trick play, Philly special, touchdown to the quarterback.
Trick play is a good answer right there. The Philly special in the Super Bowl from the one-yard line.
What makes that always fun is because I always remind people, and Brady dropped his pass.
Yeah.
that was always the fun part of those two.
And last night at the banquet, the Brady drop was featured as the 10th best play of the game.
Yes.
Because we had this whole countdown, all the touchdowns, and Brandon Graham's strip sack.
I always wonder, too, how much, because Nick suggested the play, how much it was in his mind after watching them run the Brady play. Because it's a very similar play.
Very similar.
Maybe it kind of jostled something in Nick's mind to be like, oh.
Oh, we could do that.
Maybe we could do that.
Totally.
Later.
No, it's interesting. Let's get to Kenny right now. Kenny, good morning.
So, I can't stress enough how much fun that Otho Davis dinner was last night. And if you weren't there, you definitely missed something.
Yeah, it was a special night, Kenny. It really was.
And Otho, you know, Otho was Eagles trainer when I started covering the team, and what a special guy. Really just was a groundbreaking guy in terms of athletic training in the NFL. And it's a wonderful foundation. They do great work.
By the way, let me add, Kenny, real quick before you keep going. Rube, that last night the banquet, because Otho's dream at the end of his life when he wanted to begin this foundation was to help aspiring trainers, you know, of that, you know, that genre of society, two different $20,000 scholarships last night. Like, I go to these banquets sometimes. I mean, you'll be at $5,000, $2,000, $6,000. I mean, this was $40,000 last night. And by the way, you know how some of that money gets raised? Nick Foles, Trey Burton, Corey Clement, and Jason Kelsey signed the same football.
Huh. Wow.
And that thing gets bid, and that bid gets up to $10,000 last night.
Wow.
Think about
that.
That
still feels like a steal of $10,000.
I mean, you get the four guys from the Philly special, and they believed, those four guys said last night, they think it is the first time that anyone's ever had a football of just those four.
No way.
They think.
That is a good idea.
I mean, maybe someone did it on their
own. But the point is, they've never done it together.
Correct. They did too. So Seth was the auctioneer at that point, and Seth's like, hey, guys, you'll sign another, right? And so it ended up being two different 10,000, which was great. Anyway, Kenny, go ahead, pal.
Yeah, and when Seth tells you to do it, you do it.
Yep, 100%. I was thinking the same thing. Much. I was like, Seth is the perfect person to have as the auctioneer.
And so they had the four of them on the stage, and Ray Dittinger and Dave Spadaro were asking them questions, and they somehow allowed me to ask a question of the four of them.
Yes, they did.
And naturally, I had to be myself when I said, guys, wondering if any of you ever rewatched the TV version of the Super Bowl, and if you did, do you think Chris Collins is a jackass?
Oh, no, Kenny.
How about this, James? None of them had seen the Super Bowl.
Wow, no one had ever seen
TV. They said they had seen parts. It pops on TV.
Wow. Kenny,
it was 0 for 4 of them, right?
They said they've watched the game film and the highlights, but they never actually.
Guys, do yourself a favor. Watch a game. It's a blast.
You know what was also, you know, I'll give you another fact from last night that was wild. So 5 minutes to go in the game, the 4th-and-1 that turns into the Zach Ertz completion, which I think might have been the most important play in the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable play
that,
by
Brandon
Foles.
Graham. That and Brandon Graham, yeah. I think, are the two most important plays in that game.
That even fourth down conversion, I mean, Foles was under instant pressure
totally.
From the D-tackle
yeah.
and lobbed it over his head.
But after juking the guy.
But Rube, here's the thing, and Rube, you may have heard this before, you might not have. Foles said last night, on third down, he flat out called the wrong play. He was. I'll say the numbers. I might be off by about 10 or 20. I think he said he was supposed to call number 51, and he looked at his wristband and called number 53.
Wow.
And so he literally called the wrong play, and it went nowhere, and now it was fourth and one. And Doug's
so
like,
he felt personally responsible.
He didn't know until the offseason.
No, no.
He didn't know until someone grabbed him in the offseason and said, Nick, by the way, you might not know it. Third and one, you completely called the wrong play.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Well, imagine if they don't convert fourth and
correct.
One.
Correct.
Yeah, wow. I mean, the game's over if they don't convert.
Yeah, game's over.
Game is over.
The game is over.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they hold them to a field goal, but they probably don't.
But they couldn't the entire second half.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
you know?
Right. Anyway, Kenny, great seeing you last night. Give me an answer here, Ken, for what was wild in sports.
30 idiots in a bus going up to the draft.
That's a good answer. The booing of Donovan was wild. All right, let's get to more here in the Joel situation, because Shams, who yesterday reported extensively on ESPN and on ESPN.com about what went down with Joel, elaborated further when he was on TV talking about Tyrese's role in calling out Joel. I'll use that term, calling out Joel. Here's more from Shams yesterday.
From what I'm told, it was kind of like this. Big fella is someone that Tyrese Maxey loves, but this was the elephant in the room, and Tyrese Maxey addressed it. They're very close. They're very close friends. They hold each other accountable. But last night, Tyrese Maxey delivered a message to Joel Embiid that I think a lot of people saw coming for a really long time in Philadelphia. And now they go from here on what are the action steps. What will Joel Embiid look like when the team plays in Memphis on Wednesday? What will he hone in on the message that was given to him and really put that into action over the next week or so? We're about to find out. But the fact that Tyrese Maxey, their young leader, is the one that stepped up with this, he's not going to just speak out for nothing.
All right, let me ask this question, because there's so many different tentacles to this conversation. Let me ask this one. It's unfortunate we won't get the answer tonight, because the Sixers tonight play at, is it Memphis?
Memphis. John Morant's not playing.
Yeah.
I
all right,
think.
Road
I think
game. Road game.
They're actually favorites.
So, John, I posed this question about 2 weeks ago when he was going to play in his first home game, and you know,
the
Knicks
thing kind of made it hard to gauge.
What will the crowd reaction be? So, John, without knowing what happens tonight, he could play, he could not play, he could play well. He probably won't play very well because he hasn't yet. The next home game, John, are there more boos than cheers when he's introduced?
I think everything has to do with the way things look
tonight.
Between now and then, I think a lot can change based on the way he performs.
Let's just say he doesn't play tonight, hypothetically.
Man. Okay, if there's nothing, if there is no playing, I'd expect more boos.
Rube, is there more boos?
More acrimony.
70-30 boos.
James, you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Which he's never had.
Never.
Ever.
He's never had, Rhea, he's never had that.
They've had boos towards the end of playoff games.
We are saying your name, and Philadelphia is saying the process.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it'll be 100% deserved. And if he tries to come out with any kind of, you know, woe is me thing, people are just we're sick of it. You know, it's like even the people who are hardcore that I walked up to Mike Angelini and I go, Mike. Joel, and he goes,
yeah.
I mean, like the people who always argue.
You lost Elliot. Elliot's out.
Yeah. I mean, Elliot. I mean,
what did Elliot say?
He's out.
Oh, totally out.
Out. Completely and totally out on Embiid. Out. And you remember last year.
I remember.
You were to the bitter end.
Wow. All right. Hey, Mike Quick in 15 minutes by phone. Merrill Reese here at Chickies and Pete's joins us at 9. Let's get to Steve in Egg Harbor Township. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, good morning. I would trade Embiid in a heartbeat. I just can't stand the guy anymore. I can't even watch the Sixers, and I love basketball. I coach basketball, and I can't even watch his team anymore because of that guy's on it.
He's not even playing, Brad.
It makes me sick.
even when he's playing, he's just running free throw line to free, like barely playing.
Look, Steve, if he's not, if they keep him, if he's not playing great basketball within about 2 weeks, then that might be it. Like, maybe he just can't ever get it back again. I still think there's a decent chance that he will get back to being a great player. Not that he doesn't miss games and all that, but I still think he will get back there in the next 2 or 3 weeks. If he doesn't, we got to...
So you think he'll respond to this? Because
it's not even about response. I think his body will respond to playing.
But also mentally, like this whole thing.
I don't think he will respond well to it.
That's a concern.
The problem is not just, okay, when will he want to get down there and swap paint down in the paint? When will he have that desire?
Well, there was a moment.
That's what a good center can do. Now in today's NFL, NBA, I know it's different. I know you need to be outside in three-point land sometimes, but you need to get down inside.
Of course
you do. And he has neglected that. And especially now, we see when he's out of shape. And
no,
we remember when he's out of shape. He completely avoids going anywhere close to down
I'm
below.
Aware. I'm aware.
Because it's harder.
That's
because
right.
That hurts when guys try to fight you and you have to try to fight back and push and battle.
He gets tired quicker.
He gets tired.
There's no question.
That's exactly it.
Hey, Steve, give me what you got on the Eagles.
Well, really quickly, it's odd to say what the defense has been so impressive. And I just say one thing about the Eagles defense. I really believe we have a championship defense. And if we can shut down these receivers with this good running back and quarterback, if we go to L.A. like we've done consistently and win, and we show we have a championship defense, it just goes to show you can win any game with this kind of team, including the Super Bowl.
Well, that'd be a big time win. I mean, not a big time, but it'd be a solid win. Steve, give me an answer. What was wild in sports?
The Riddick Bowe, Evander Holyfield two-fight when the parachuter got stuck in the ropes. That was unbelievable.
That was wild. That, what would they call him? Kite? Not Kite Man. Kite Man was the Phillies guy. Fan Man?
Might have been Fan Man. Yeah, I think
he might
be right.
That sounds familiar.
And then he showed up at one of those Super Bowls where there was a dome, and he was just flying around outside the dome. Remember
that?
I don't remember.
Fan Man.
Why was he flying
around? Nobody told him it was a dome.
He landed. So it was one of those fights. So I'm going back to the fight. It was one of those Vegas fights that's indoor-outdoor. Like it's under a canopy or something. But he was able to like shoot in there. And he wanted to land in the ring. And he kind of did. He landed in the ropes and got completely entangled in the ropes. And this was in the middle of the fight. And
so
it required
ropes for the ring.
The ropes for the ring.
Wow, that's
and
bad
I think
luck.
He even landed on, like, the back of one of the fighters who was up against the ropes or something. And it was like...
While they were fighting?
Yes, and it stopped. It stopped the fight for, like, a good 10 minutes or something in the middle of the fight. It was a heavyweight championship
They
fight.
Had to extract him from the rope.
Oh, it was a mess.
They were battling
and
on top of him.
And it was unbelievable.
He's actually still there. He's still tangled up. Unbelievable.
Incredible. All right, I want to play some audio here. Two pieces of audio. One from a CBS broadcast about 2 or 3 weeks ago during an Eagles game. And then we'll get to Saquon Barkley. And, Rube, I want to ask you if we, as a fan base, were too critical too early this year? Did we not let them kind of work their way into it without heaping doses of criticism, perhaps too much so? Let's start with Romo and Nance. They broadcast the game, I don't know when it was, a couple weeks ago. And as the Eagles were playing, those guys cut into this commentary.
It's real. They can win the Super Bowl this year.
There's a lot to like, and there's a lot of negativity for some reason about this team that comes in on this four-game win streak. Gainwell picks up only two. And it's an interesting thing. There's a lot of talk about, almost talk radio-esque, about what they can't do, what they're not doing, how they fail to do this, how they fail to do that. But you start looking at the numbers they're compiling, especially this last month, the defensive stats,
yep.
Best rush defense, the best total yards defense, the second best rushing offense for a span of over a month. I mean, those add up to some really good results in the end.
Yeah, and Sirianni takes on a lot of pressure with the, all the talk, but I mean that's just passionate fans. I actually like when fans care and they want to be a part of it and everything. But when you're winning, it's hard to win the NFL, and they're winning. He deserves credit.
All right, now that I believe was when they were 6-2. Now they're 8-2. Now before we react specifically to that, tuck that one away. I want to play something Saquon said about 2 weeks ago. It's got a sort of a similar theme. Although there's one aspect Saquon said here I don't love, but listen to Saquon presenting a fairly similar concept.
Given how far it's kind of come since the bye, where kind of, 2-2 starts, a little bit rocky, what does it say?
I wouldn't say it's rocky. I think you guys made it seem rocky. Not, no offense. I mean, you guys are doing your job, but panic outside of the locker room kind of, it was – from outside the locker room. It wasn't in here. We had no panic. We kind of treated it like the preseason games, to be honest. That was kind of the mindset. He was like, all right, we're done with preseason. Now let's go get things shaken.
All right, so I would say it was rocky, and I don't like to hear that the first four games are thereabout are viewed as the preseason. But, Ruben, Nance's point, Romo's point, Saquon's point, all kind of the same, saying, man, you guys freaked out early. Was it too much of a freak out, Ruben? Was it unwarranted to an extent?
I don't think so, because it was on the heels of last year's collapse. And I think that was natural to react that way. I mean, Saquon dropped the pass against the Falcons that cost them a win in their home opener. I mean, the game's over if he catches pass.
Yeah.
And then you're down 26-0 early in the second quarter in Tampa. So, no, I don't think it was an overreaction. I think there were genuine concerns. Now they addressed them, and good for them, but I think it was all fair.
So, James, you've made the point a number of times over the last couple of years and a couple times this year that you think there's got to be a little bit more of a let it breathe, teams come together as the season goes on. And, of course, we now have 17 games. I mean, it's got a little bit of a different feel. So how do you factor that in compared to what Ruben just said?
Yeah, well, I agree with what Ruben said. I think that's why people are freaking out, and I think it was warranted in a sense because of that. But I've said it for the last few years, and Saquon just said it. I think the NFL and players and teams view the first month of the season as a way to kind of get yourself rolling.
And, John, that drives you nuts.
It does, but
I don't like it either.
It's what it is with the new CBA rules, with the way preseason is now. Like, they never play in preseason, so it's not ideal. But that's why it's been years I've been saying, hey, I'm not going to overreact to the first month of the season. What I see here, I'm just not going to freak out. And I think this year it's been proven correct.
I think it's great to not overreact to that first month of the season until one of our stars is injured and the season.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Discussion.
If they're not ready, they're not ready.
But that hasn't
happened, shouldn't be
right?
I guess not, but that doesn't mean it won't. It doesn't mean it won't.
I think we have to move past
they're
this.
Not like, ready when they take the field for the first month, and they're admitting as much. Holy cow, that's not good.
Everyone in the league isn't, is the point.
Well,
I mean, that Falcons game, theoretically, could cost them the number one seed.
Yep.
Good.
You blew a lead on Monday Night Football at home in your home opener because your star running back dropped a pass. That could cost you the number one seed. So, no.
But I would say this, Rube. The drop pass, as aggravating as it was,
it's not because they didn't have preseason.
It's not because they didn't play in the preseason. Like,
I totally agree.
He just dropped a pass.
Yeah.
No, but what everybody says, like, you know, and you know, I am of the club. I panic early and often,
sure.
And I'm always fine with that. But, you know, we go through a baseball season. It's too early. There are only 17 of these.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's important. And they started 2-2. So was it the end of the world? No. But it was the end of the Atlanta game was ugly, and the Tampa game, they were never in
it.
And they had two things came out of that Tampa game. Lane Dickerson and Maialata had to go to Nick and say, hey, we got to run more. And Nick Fangio had to emphasize tackling because they missed like 1,000 tackles in that game.
And hadn't done it in the first season.
They also did play that game without a few of their stars.
Yeah,
too.
No, but that has nothing to do with tackling. I mean, that was AJ and Devontae. Yeah.
So, Rube, another aspect to this whole thing, it's a little bit more, I mean, it's next season, but as it relates to this season, when I say next season, their strategy, I don't think they're going to change their strategy next preseason. I think they probably feel emboldened by being 8-2.
Absolutely.
And I don't think they're going to reverse course on what their August strategy has been for the last bunch of years. Rube, one thing that they either deserve credit for, or it's luck, or it's both, they are very uninjured. I mean, I don't know if people have taken stock 10 games into the season where most teams have good players that are out for the year. I mean, Ruben, AJ missed a couple, Goddard missed a couple, Mulata missed a couple. I'm sure I'm missing one or two.
Lane missed one.
Lane.
Yeah.
But I mean, Ruben, but big picture?
Well, James Bradbury's still not bad.
Right. Oh, good point.
But I mean, Ruben, big picture, it's almost like 2022. They are in great shape approaching Thanksgiving.
And there's really a cause and effect with the way they practice, and people don't want to hear it, but there's a cause and effect being healthy when you're not killing each other in training camp.
And John, how do you take that, like, knowing that you have advocated
and
for
former players hate it.
Yeah, so, John, what would you make of that? Because I know it's been a major bane of your existence.
I mean, you start the season slowly. You're not good month and a half late. I mean, you don't get good until about a month and a half into the regular season. How do you value that trade-off?
I mean, they should have been 3-0.
I'd rather be healthy. Like, I would. If you're asking me, would I rather be good at the end of the season and healthy or start hot?
But nothing guarantees.
Of course it doesn't. Yeah, but you're weighing the – it's risk-reward on each side.
It used to be
and,
you
and
would,
if I have a choice, I would much rather be peaking at the end and be healthy. Like,
and it used to be you would err to the side of let's leave no stone unturned.
Yeah.
Now it's let's leave those stones unturned because we might get hurt if we try to turn them
John,
over.
John, we should ask Vermeil when he joins us on Friday because he's obviously been a staunch – He hates it, but does he amend his position based on seeing the team be healthy and 8-2? Two different issues. Healthy and 8-2.
Well, that's the point. You are healthy, but you're a worse team. If you could have the best of all worlds where you're a prepared and healthy team, that is the ultimate goal. How do you toe that line?
All right, so
8-2.
I watched a practice with Vermeil last summer, and he said, I couldn't coach. I could not coach today.
No, we'll ask him on Friday. I mean, I tend to think he's going to not like it, but I also know he's an incredibly smart guy, and he knows 8-2 and healthy is a great spot to be in.
And
so,
things always change in sports.
All right, let's go to the phones. Mike Quick joins us in about 2 minutes. Matt in Old City right now. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, morning, Joe. Guys, how are you?
Good, buddy.
Doing great.
Good. I just wanted to bring up last time I called in that, I talked with Rhea, and she asked her, the question was, you know, who or what do you want to see get out? And my response to that was Doc Rivers. And I got called harsh that morning. So sometimes the tough thing to hear is the correct thing to hear.
Oh, of course. Is this a trade Embiid call?
It's not a trade Embiid call. It's a defend Embiid call.
Wow, that's a shocker.
What a twist.
All right, go ahead. Okay. This is like the usual suspects.
I didn't see this
coming. Go ahead.
The agenda thinks that is a non-issue. You guys just said it. Would you rather be healthy at the end of the year with a full Embiid or, you know, have him go out there, you know, starting game one, scoring 30 points a game, and then his knees can't hold up come playoff time.
Well, I'll say this, Matt. They better make the playoffs just to justify any strategy.
And they're 2-11 in an 82-game season.
I know. In a week, East. But it is – like, Matt, let me ask you a question. I do get your point, but I wonder, is there end game Embiid plays 40 games? And if so, do they make the playoffs if he plays 40 games?
I would hope so. I would hope Nick Nurse,
yeah, but
Maxi,
they might.
Paul
you know what?
Could figure but, it out enough.
But Matt, here's part of why they might not. Watching that game the other day, Paul George and Jimmy Butler. Who would you rather have? You know what I'm saying? Like Paul George ain't the old Paul George. He's
that's
just
fair.
Not.
He is the old Paul George.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fair. But you get Paul George to be Paul George with Joel Embiid. You don't get Paul George to be, you know, leading the team by himself.
Oh, that's
so
the hope.
You gotta wait to see how this team plays healthy, which hopefully will come soon.
When will that happen?
Yeah.
We've all watched Joel enough to know that in time he'll hopefully get out there. Again, hopefully.
Hopefully,
but,
yeah.
You know, we can't just jump the gun.
Okay. All right, Matt, I want to get to Mike Quick, who's waiting for us. Give me a great answer. What was wild in sports on this, the anniversary week of that Malice at the Palace in Auburn Hills 20 years ago?
Absolutely. I got Randy Johnson firing a fastball into a bird.
Yeah, Randy and the bird is a great answer. By the way, you can be here at Chickies and Pete's today. We're at the South Philadelphia location. Broadcasting the station is till 7 o'clock tonight. And then remember, celebrity bartending from 6 to 8 tonight. That'll include Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulata as celebrity bartenders. Get to Chickies and Pete's for the holidays. Makes for a great gift, obviously, gift cards. Tremendous gift. Always fits. And, hey, you can buy it in person or online at chickiesandpetes.com. Seltzer, let's talk to Mike Quick as we do every single Wednesday.
Mike Quick, sponsored by the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. BetParks.com. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So Mike had been a weekly guest of our show every Wednesday at 9:10. We appreciate him moving his time up to a weekly spot at this time, right around 8:45 every week. A lot of Eagles to talk about. And Mike, we might just be doing it with you into February this year. Good morning, pal.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I mean, so Mike, this 8-2, it feels different to me than other 8-2s. I don't feel as confident as I did in 04, 17, or 22. They had a record thereabout. But they're really trending in the right direction. What do you make big picture? I mean, one of the things we were discussing today out of the shoot is, are they definitely a great team? What would be your answer to that question?
Yes. When you look at the landscape of the NFL, if we focus in on the NFC, they are probably in the top two teams in the NFC. And if they continue with the formula that they have, and I think they will and can, we may be still talking in February, and that would be wonderful. I would love that.
And what about the Rams? How do they factor into the power structure in the NFC? And the Commanders, too, because it felt like they were supposed to be really good, and maybe we knocked them down a peg, and now they're a tier below us.
Yeah, but I think they'll be right back. I think that's a really good football team down there. Dan Quinn, their head coach, I just think is outstanding. And he surrounded himself with a lot of really good, experienced NFL coaches. So you know the defense is going to be a good defense. That young quarterback down there, he's not going to go away. He's just going to continue to get better and better. So they still, I believe that they will still be a factor when it all boils down. But
that's not good.
It's not. So we're going to have to see this young kid for a long, long time, and I just think he's going to continue to get better.
Mike, then what about the Rams, our opponent this week? Their quarterback's nothing to sneeze at either. Matthew Stafford, an incredible arm. I think Matthew Stafford gets undervalued by people like Joe DeCamera, who look at him and say, but he played for the Lions back when the Lions
were
terrible.
It was a lot of losing.
Yeah, it was.
Listen, Matthew Stafford is a really good quarterback. He's 36 years old. He's seen everything. And I thought last week he was fantastic. He threw for 4 touchdowns, almost 300 yards passing, no blemish. That offensive line that they have, they do a pretty good job of protecting him. But he also makes them look good because he can get the football out. And he knows where his answers are when you're taking things away. So he's not going to take hits. He's not going to take many sacks. When you've been around that long, you've seen a lot. And with the two wide receivers that he has, they're healthy now. They are not an easy out. They're a tough out.
You know, Mike, one of the things that it's just been an enormous riddle, why do they finish fast but can't start fast? It's 10 weeks now. Do you have any explanation for why they start so slow on offense?
You're talking the Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles offense. Because it's not the defense. The defense keeps them in games. But, what is up with this?
I heard a conversation with the head coach of the Rams, and they have the same issue out there. There's no one answer for it. There's number of things that will happen throughout the course, but the real important thing is that they get it right. The real important thing is if you don't win the first quarter, you win second, third, fourth quarter. If you're winning the fourth quarter, many times you're going to win in the National Football League. And in one-score games, I heard someone telling you a couple of days ago the record that Nick Sirianni has in one-score games, and it's phenomenal.
So we are depending upon a couple young rookies in our secondary to really be the last line of defense, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. Now, there's going to be a rookie wall hit at some point here, isn't there, Mike? What do we do about that? How worried should we be about the rookie wall? Because we got two rookies that are a major part of how well our defense is doing.
I really believe that that's more concerned when you work in the trenches. I think if these guys continue with their weekly routine of trying to get their bodies back to where it needs to be, whatever they are doing now, that they're able to continue doing that, I think they'll be fine. There's going to be, you know, a lot of these guys now, they play in extra games in college. So there's certainly the chance of the rookie wall. But I just believe that the way these guys are training now, it's a little bit different than what we've known. And I do believe that that is more a factor in guys that are in the trenches and not so much the guys outside.
And Cooper DeJean didn't even play the first four games.
Yeah, and missed most of the training camp. Incredible. And
that's a really good point.
Thank you, John.
When you're 23 years old, I don't see why you could run. Why you would get tired. I never got tired when I was 23 years old.
Yeah, you were in a training camp, though.
Well, that's true.
I did. I hit the rookie wall hard when I was 23.
Well, Jalen Carter really hit it hard last year. I thought he would. Now, this might be to your point in the trenches, but I thought he was dominant in the first half and pedestrian in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. I think he ran out of gas. And I think even Jalen and Jordan, I think they're learning how to train a whole lot better now. They've got better support around him, and I think that's going to pay off.
Hey, Mike.
Jalen Carter played every snap Thursday.
That was unbelievable, by the way.
How about
that? It doesn't happen last year.
It's so awesome.
It basically doesn't happen. I mean, it's outrageous.
It happens when you're a stud.
Well, and young, typically. I mean, you don't do that to old Fletcher Cox. Hey, Mike, does it bug you that Saquon Barkley isn't higher on the list for league MVP and voting odds? I mean, it's just stupid that he's not, right?
Yeah, but I think that is usually a spot that's reserved for quarterbacks. And I think as time moves on, as the Eagles play in more of these primetime games and more people start to see him, more of the people that matter start to see him, I think that his name will move up that list because the reality is the offense goes through Saquon. That's where this team is right now.
Yeah.
I'm a voter. I'll vote for him if he deserves it.
Ruben, how many voters are there?
I don't even know. Maybe 40.
Is it a couple per city? Is it like what's the?
There's one per city, and then there's like some at-large guys.
Wow, only
40. I'm not sure exactly how many.
So, are you the only one that's a voter here in Philly?
I think I am.
Good for you, man. Yeah, that's a distinction.
These other guys around the country, they don't always.
Did you have to like predate? Did you have to like weed other voters out?
Did you go in the octagon and you got spotted out?
I don't know.
Yeah, was it like a contentious?
Like you stab McLean and then
you're the lone survivor.
And then you see Les Bowen and you come off the top turnstile and you crack Les Bowen's ribs.
Paul Domowicz used to do it and he retired. I don't know.
You're the last one. Wow.
That's awesome. Ruben, it almost makes it sound like John's calling you old because that is
almost.
No, I'm not.
Hey, Mike, wonderful having you at the event last night, obviously. That was special. I know Otho was a major part of helping you and a lot of players through the years, and always a special event, that banquet.
Joe, you did a fantastic job last night. If you guys haven't seen Joe on stage, it's pretty cool to watch. He's not quite.
Was there dancing, Mike?
Well, no, that wouldn't work for Joe.
No. Mike, I appreciate it, man.
Only you're singing, no dancing.
You're right, very, very kind, Mike, and it was special and great seeing so many of the players. All right, Mike, stay well, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being a big part of the show.
Take care, guys.
There he
Thanks,
is,
Mike.
You know, Joe, he was complimenting me, and you cut him off. Why'd you have to do that? I wanted to hear what the rest was going to be.
Well, because I didn't want to hear
You don't need anymore. Your head any bigger.
No.
Yeah, we do not. Yeah, we heard several times what a great job you did last night.
It's like, all right, we get it.
Yeah, but it's extra credits coming.
No, hold on, it's not Mr. good at it.
It's MC Hammer.
Yeah, right, Mr. Yeah. MC Hammer.
Did they introduce you as MC Hammer?
They probably should, now that I think about it. All right, Merrill Reese joins us shortly. Rube, let's get an answer here. Eagles-Rams... Who wins the game?
I think it's a tough game. You have the second-best record on the road since Nick started, half a game behind the Chiefs. I think they go out there and win the game. I really do. I think it's going to be played in the high 20s. I don't think they're going to totally shut down Stafford and those receivers, but I think Eagles get out of there with a win.
Love it. Love it. Hey, Rube, thanks for being here today, my man. Great
stuff. All
right,
guys, anytime.
Rube and Frank, of course, NBC Sports Philadelphia and our own here at WIP. As we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's, the broadcast continues. Birds at the Half, benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. A portion of the proceeds today, of course, on all crab fries sold, will be donated to the Travis Mannion Foundation. The legend, Merrill Reese, joins us for the 9 o'clock hour. He's next. Your phone calls as well on a great day. Other than to be a Sixers fan, that is. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Birds at the Half. Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Here's action. I also love an 8-2 football team, but I don't love what we know is going on with Joel Embiid, which is whatever is past debacle. John, what would be, you're a wordsmith. Your mom taught English growing up. What would be the one word to best sum up, because debacle's not enough. It was a debacle a year ago.
Oh, my God.
What word are we at now for Joel and the Sixers?
Great.
Calamitous?
Ooh. I like that.
Cataclysmic?
Cataclysm. but it's almost a joke. It's almost such a joke. A laughable cataclysm.
Yeah.
A laughable calamity that could have been prevented by just show up in shape, man.
Yeah, it's brutal, man.
Show up in shape.
Well, we have two different Twitter poll questions of the day that speak to the Joel thing, and they're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you think the Sixers should try to trade Embiid immediately? Yes or no? Second poll question, do you think this will be Joel's last year with the Sixers? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Hey, reminder, tomorrow, of course, 7:30, Jason Kelsey always in studio with us, 7:30 to 8:30. But tomorrow at 8, we'll also have Corey Clement in studio with us. Met him last night at an event. Wonderful person. I mean, obviously, what a massive role he had in the history of the Eagles. You can say without him, for maybe 10 different players, they might not have won that Super Bowl. You know, he's pretty high on the list. I mean, that specific game. Look, who knows? Who knows if they didn't have that guy or that guy or that guy? Who knows if they would have won it? But we know this. Corey Clement had a massive role that evening, and he had a big role that season. So we're looking forward to having him in studio tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and he'll be fielding phone calls. First time for us as a show to have him in studio with us. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Ruben Frank with us the remainder of this hour. Merrill Reese at 8. Mike Quick at 8:45. Scott in Richboro right now. Scott, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Scott.
Just wanted to touch on the Eagles' defense this year.
Sure.
Not only just what Vic's doing with the team, I just feel like the camaraderie there. Every time someone does something, everybody's right there celebrating with them. It reminds me a lot of 2017 and just the overall vibes that the team's giving out.
Well, Scott, before you continue, let me turn to Rube. So, Rube, I've gotten that feel the last few weeks as well. Is that accurate? You're down there with them. It seems like these guys really get along.
They do, and they're all young. Other than Slay and BG, I mean, it's a really young group. When they played Dallas, Zach Bond was the oldest defensive starter at 27.
It's insane.
It's the youngest defense in the league, and I think that plays, you know, you have a lot of guys the same age. They're all very close. And the thing is, they've only played six games. I mean, you know, Cooper DeJean's only played the last, like, five games.
Right.
They're going to get better. They're a bunch of young guys that are improving. They're doing it together. They're very close. And they're really, really well coached.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, that's a big part, I believe, of what's going on right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No,
and being close, and I actually talked to Reed Blankenship about this the other day. Being close leads to better play because you learn to communicate with each other. He said, you know, when you're hanging out off the field, you build up that relationship. And then when you're on the field, the communication is really easy because you're close to the guy next to you.
Yeah.
It feels that way when you watch. I mean, like, it's not just the celebrations. It's the way they play together.
Yeah.
I mean, they gang tackle. They fly to the ball together. There are no missed assignments. Like, it really does feel like a unit.
I agree. Hey, Scott, you can win these Post Malone tickets. What was wild in sports?
Wow, you guys were talking about it earlier. A three-point game in the Super Bowl. We decided to run a trick play, Philly special, touchdown to the quarterback.
Trick play is a good answer right there. The Philly special in the Super Bowl from the one-yard line.
What makes that always fun is because I always remind people, and Brady dropped his pass.
Yeah.
that was always the fun part of those
and last night at the banquet, the Brady drop was featured as the 10th best play
of
the game.
Was it? Yes.
That's amazing. This whole countdown, all the touchdowns, and well, Brandon Graham strip sack.
I always wonder, too, how much, because Nick suggested the play, how much it was in his mind after watching them run the Brady play, because it's a very similar play.
Very similar.
Maybe it kind of jostled something in Nick's mind to be like, oh.
No, we could do that.
Maybe we could do that.
Totally.
Later.
No, it's interesting. Let's get to Kenny right now. Kenny, good morning.
So, I can't stress enough how much fun that Otho Davis dinner was last night. And if you weren't there, you definitely missed something.
Yeah, it was a special night, Kenny. It really was.
And Otho, you know, Otho was Eagles trainer when I started covering the team, and what a special guy. Really just was a groundbreaking guy in terms of athletic training in the NFL. And it's a wonderful foundation. They do great work.
By the way, let me add, Kenny, real quick before you keep going. Rube, that last night, the banquet, because Otho's dream at the end of his life when he wanted to begin this foundation was to help aspiring trainers, you know, of that, you know, that genre of society. Two different $20,000 scholarships last night. Like, I go to these banquets sometimes. I mean, you'll be at $5,000, $2,000, $6,000. I mean, this was $40,000 last night. And by the way, you know how some of that money gets raised? Nick Foles, Trey Burton, Corey Clement, and Jason Kelce signed the same football.
Wow.
And that thing gets bid, and that bid gets up to $10,000 last night.
Wow.
Think about that.
And that still feels like a steal at $10,000.
I mean, you get the four guys from the Philly special, and they believed, those four guys said last night, they think it is the first time that anyone's ever had a football of just those four.
No way.
They think.
That is a good idea.
I mean, maybe someone did it
on their own, but the point is they've never done it together.
Correct. They did too. So Seth was the auctioneer at that point, and Seth's like, hey, guys, you'll sign another, right? And so it ended up being two different 10,000, which was great. Anyway, Kenny, go ahead, pal.
Yeah, and when Seth tells you to do it, you do it.
Yep, 100%. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, Seth is the perfect person to have as the auctioneer.
And so they had the four of them on the stage, and Ray Dittinger and Dave Spadaro were asking them questions, and they somehow allowed me to ask a question of the four of them.
Yes, they did.
And naturally, I had to be myself when I said, guys, wondering if any of you ever rewatched the TV version of the Super Bowl, and if you did, do you think Chris Collins is a jackass?
Oh, no, Kenny.
How about this, James? None of them had seen the Super Bowl.
Wow, no one had ever seen
TV. They said they had seen parts. It pops on TV.
Wow. Kenny,
it was 0 for 4 of them, right?
They said they've watched the game film and the highlights, but they never actually.
Guys, do yourself a favor. Watch a game. It's a blast.
You know what was also, I'll give you another fact from last night that was wild. So 5 minutes to go in the game, the 4th and 1 that turns into the Zach Ertz completion, which I think might have been the most important play in the Super Bowl.
Brandon Graham,
I think, are the two most important plays in that game.
That fourth down conversion, I mean, Foles was under instant pressure from the D-tackle and lobbed it over his head.
But after juking the guy.
But Rube, here's the thing, and Rube, you may have heard this before, you might not have. Foles said last night on third down, he flat out called the wrong play. I'll say the numbers. I might be off by about 10 or 20. I think he said he was supposed to call number 51. And he looked at his wristband and called number 53.
Wow.
And so he literally called the wrong play, and it went nowhere, and now it was 4th and 1. And Doug's
he felt personally responsible.
He didn't know until the offseason.
Oh, no!
He didn't know until someone grabbed him in the offseason and said, Nick, by the way, you might not know it, 3rd and 1, you completely called the wrong play.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Well, imagine if they don't convert 4th and 1.
Correct.
Yeah, wow. I mean, the game's over.
Wow.
If they don't
convert. Game's over.
Game is over.
The game is over.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they hold them to a field goal, but they probably don't.
But they couldn't the entire second half.
Right, right. Anyway, Kenny, great seeing you last night. Give me an answer here, Ken, for what was wild in sports.
30 idiots in a bus going up to the draft.
That's a good answer. The booing of Donovan was wild. All right, let's get to more here in the Joel situation, because Shams, who yesterday reported extensively on ESPN and on ESPN.com about what went down with Joel, elaborated further when he was on TV talking about Tyrese's role in calling out Joel. I'll use that term, calling out Joel. Here's more from Shams yesterday.
From what I'm told, it was kind of like this. Big fella is someone that Tyrese Maxey loves, but this was the elephant in the room, and Tyrese Maxey addressed it. They're very close. They're very close friends. They hold each other accountable. But last night, Tyrese Maxey delivered a message to Joel Embiid. I think a lot of people saw it coming for a really long time in Philadelphia, and now they go from here on what are the action steps. What will Joel Embiid look like when the team plays in Memphis on Wednesday? What will he hone in on the message that was given to him and really put that into action over the next week or so. We're about to find out. But the fact that Tyrese Maxey, their young leader, is the one that stepped up with this, he's not going to just speak out for nothing.
All right, let me ask this question, because there's so many different tentacles to this conversation. Let me ask this one. It's unfortunate we won't get the answer tonight, because the Sixers tonight play at, is it Memphis?
Memphis. John Morant's not playing.
Yeah.
I
All right.
Think.
Road game. Road game.
They're actually favorites.
So, John, I posed this question about 2 weeks ago when he was going to play in his first home game, and you know,
the Knicks thing kind of made it hard to gauge.
What will the crowd reaction be? So, John, without knowing what happens tonight, he could play, he could not play, he could play well, he probably won't play very well because he hasn't yet. The next home game, John, are there more boos than cheers when he's introduced?
I think everything has to do with the way things look
tonight.
Between now and then, I think a lot can change
Friday night
based
Nets,
on the way
the
he performs.
Let's just say he doesn't play tonight, hypothetically.
Man. Okay, if there's nothing, if there is no playing, I'd expect more boos.
Rube, is it more boos?
More acrimony.
70-30 boos.
James, you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Which he's never had.
Ever.
He's never had, Rhea, he's never had that.
They've had boos towards the end of playoff games. Like,
yeah.
I think
sure,
they
but this is different.
Yeah.
We are saying name, and Philadelphia
the,
is Joel, saying
the process.
Boo. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it'll be 100% deserved. And if he tries to come out with any kind of, you know, woe is me thing,
I agree.
Like, people are just, we're sick of it.
Had
I mean,
enough.
You know, it's like even the people who are hardcore that I walked up to Mike Angelina, and I go, Mike. Joel, and he goes,
yeah.
I mean, like, the people who would always argue.
You lost Elliot. Elliot's out.
I mean, Elliot. I mean.
What did Elliot say?
He's out.
Oh, totally out.
Out. Completely and totally out on Embiid. Out. And you remember last year.
I remember.
To the bitter end.
Wow. All right. Hey, Mike Quick in 15 minutes by phone. Merrill Reese here at Chickies and Pete's joins us at 9. Let's get to Steve in Egg Harbor Township. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, good morning. I would trade Embiid in a heartbeat. I just can't stand the guy anymore. I can't even watch the Sixers, and I love basketball. I coach basketball, and I can't even watch his team anymore because of that guy's on it.
He's not even playing,
Brad. It makes me sick.
when he's playing, he's just running free throw line to free, like barely playing.
Look, Steve, if he's not, if they keep him, if he's not playing great basketball within about 2 weeks, then that might be it. Like, maybe he just can't ever get it back again. I still think there's a decent chance that he will get back to being a great player. Not that he doesn't miss games and all that, but I still think he will get back there in the next 2 or 3 weeks. If he doesn't, we got to...
So you think he'll respond to this? Because
it's not even about response. I think his body will respond to playing.
But also mentally, like this whole thing.
I don't think he will respond well to it.
You know,
no, I don't.
That's a concern.
The problem is not just, okay, when will he want to get down there and swap paint down in the paint?
Like,
when will he have that desire?
Well, there was a moment.
That's what a good center can do. Now in today's NFL, NBA, I know it's different. I know you need to be outside in three-point land sometimes, but you need to get down inside.
Of course
you do. And he has neglected that. And especially now, we see when he's out of shape. And
no,
we remember when he's out of shape. He completely avoids going anywhere close to down below.
I'm aware.
Because it's harder. That hurts when guys try to fight you and you have to try to fight back and push and battle.
He gets tired quicker.
He gets tired.
There's no question.
That's exactly it.
Hey, Steve, give me what you got on the Eagles.
Well, really quickly, it's odd to say what the defense has been so impressive. And I just say one thing about the Eagles defense. I really believe we have a championship defense. And if we can shut down these receivers with this good running back and quarterback, if we go to L.A. like we've done consistently and win, and we show we have a championship defense, it just goes to show you can win any game with this kind of team, including the Super Bowl.
Well, that'd be pretty. It'd be a big time win. I mean, not a big time, but it'd be a solid win. Steve, give me an answer. What was wild in sports?
The Riddick Bowe Evander Holyfield fight when the parachuter got stuck in the ropes. That was unbelievable.
That was wild. That, what would they call him? Kite? Not Kite Man. Kite Man was the Phillies guy. Fan Man?
Might have been Fan Man. Yeah, I think
That sounds familiar.
And then he showed up at one of those Super Bowls where there was a dome and he was just flying around outside the dome.
It's remember kind that? Of stupid.
I don't remember.
Fan man.
Why was he flying
Nobody
around?
Told him it was a dome.
He landed. So it was one of those fights. So I'm going back to the fight. It was one of those Vegas fights that's indoor-outdoor. Like, it's under a canopy or something. Something. But he was able to, like, shoot in there. And he wanted to land in the ring. And he kind of did. He landed in the ropes and got completely entangled in the ropes. And this was in the middle of the fight. And
so
it required
ropes for the ring.
The ropes for the
wow,
ring.
Wow, that's
And
bad
I think
luck.
He even landed on, like, the back of one of the fighters who was up against the ropes or something. And it was like
while they were fighting?
Yes, and it stopped. So he's it stopped to fight for, like, a good 10 minutes or something in the middle of the fight. It was a heavyweight championship
They
fight.
Had to extract him from the rope.
Oh, it was a mess.
They were battling and arrest on top him. Of him.
And it was unbelievable.
He's actually still there. He's still tangled up. Unbelievable.
Incredible. All right, let's. I want to play some audio here. Two pieces of audio. One from a CBS broadcast about 2 or 3 weeks ago during an Eagles game. And then we'll get to Saquon Barkley. And, Rube, I want to ask you if we, as a fan base, were too critical too early this year? Did we not let them kind of work their way into it without heaping doses of criticism, perhaps too much so? Let's start with Romo and Nance. They broadcast the game, I don't know when it was, a couple weeks ago. And as the Eagles were playing, those guys cut into this commentary.
It's real. They can win the Super Bowl this year.
There's a lot to like, and there's a lot of negativity for some reason about this team that comes in on this four-game win streak. Gainwell picks up only two. And it's an interesting thing. There's a lot of talk about, almost talk radio-esque, about what they can't do, what they're not doing, how they fail to do this, how they fail to do that. But you start looking at the numbers they're compiling, especially this last month, the defensive stats, the best rush defense, the best total yards defense, the second best rushing offense for a span of over a month. And those add up to some really good results in the end.
Yeah, and Sirianni takes on a lot of pressure with the, you know, all the talk, but I mean, that's just passionate fans. I actually like when fans care and they want to be a part of it and everything, but when you're winning, it's hard to win the NFL, and they're winning. He deserves credit.
All right, now that I believe was when they were 6-2. Now they're 8-2. Now, before we react specifically to that, tuck that one away. I want to play something Saquon said about 2 weeks ago. It's got a sort of a similar theme. Although there's one aspect Saquon said here I don't love, but listen to Saquon presenting a fairly similar concept.
Given how far it's kind of come since the bye, where it kind of, you know, 2-2 starts, a little bit rocky. What does it say?
I wouldn't say it's rocky. I think you guys made it seem rocky. No offense. Like, I mean, you guys are doing your job, but panic outside of the locker room kind of, you know, it was from outside the locker room. It wasn't in here. We had no panic. We kind of treated it like the preseason games, to be honest. That was kind of the mindset. He was like, all right, we're done with preseason. Now let's go get things shaken.
All right, so I would say it was rocky, and I don't like to hear that the first four games are thereabout or viewed as the preseason. But, Ruben, Nance's point, Romo's point, Saquon's point, all kind of the same, saying, man, you guys freaked out early. Was it too much of a freak out, Ruben? Was it unwarranted to an extent?
I don't think so, because it was on the heels of last year's collapse. And I think that was natural to react that way. I mean, Saquon dropped the pass against the Falcons that cost them a win in their home opener. I mean, the game's over if he catches
That's
that
right.
pass.
Yeah.
And then you're down 26-0 early in the second quarter in Tampa. So, no, I don't think it was an overreaction. I think there were genuine concerns. Now they addressed them, and good for them, but I think it was all fair.
So, James, you've made the point a number of times over the last couple of years and a couple times this year that you think there's got to be a little bit more of a let it breathe, teams come together as the season goes on. And, of course, we now have 17 games. I mean, it's got a little bit of a different feel. So how do you factor that in compared to what Ruben just said?
Yeah, well, I agree with what Ruben said. I think that's why people are freaking out, and I think it was warranted in a sense because of that. But I've said it for the last few years, and Saquon just said it. I think the NFL and players and teams view the first month of the season as a way to kind of get yourself rolling.
And, John, that drives you nuts.
It does, but
I don't like it either.
It's what it is with the new CBA rules, with the way preseason is now. Like, they never play in preseason, so it's not ideal. But that's why, it's been years I've been saying, hey, I'm not going to overreact to the first month of the season. What I see here, I'm just not going to freak out. And I think this year it's been proven correct.
I think it's great. Great to not overreact to that first month of the season until one of our stars is injured,
and we lose him for the season.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Different discussion.
If they're not ready, they're not ready.
But that hasn't happened,
shouldn't be
at, right?
I mean, I guess not, you know, but that doesn't mean it won't. It doesn't mean it won't.
I think we have to move past
They're not ready when they take the field for the first month, and they're admitting as much. Holy cow,
Saquon
admitted that's not good.
Everyone in the league isn't, is the point.
Well,
know?
I mean, that Falcons game, theoretically, could cost them number one seed.
Yep.
Good. You blew a lead on Monday Night Football at home in your home opener because your star running back dropped a pass. That could cost you the number one seed. So, no.
But I would say this, Rube. The drop pass, as aggravating as it was,
it's not because they didn't.
It's not because they didn't play in the preseason. Like
I totally agree.
He just dropped a pass.
Yeah.
No, but what everybody says, like I am of the club. I panic early and often,
sure.
And I'm always fine with that. But you know, we go through a baseball season. It's too early. There are only 17 of these.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's important, and they started 2-2. So was it the end of the world? No. But it was the end of the Atlanta game was ugly, and the Tampa game, they were never in.
Yeah.
And they had two things came out of that Tampa game. Lane Dickerson and Maialata had to go to Nick and say, hey, we got to run more. And Nick Fangio had to emphasize tackling because they missed like 1,000 tackles in that game.
And hadn't done it in the
preseason. So they also did play that game without a few of their stars.
Yeah,
too.
No, but that has nothing to do with tackling. I mean, that was AJ and Devontae. Yeah.
So, Rube, another aspect to this whole thing, it's a little bit more, I mean, it's next season, but as it relates to this season, when I say next season, their strategy, I don't think they're going to change their strategy next preseason. I think they probably feel emboldened by being 8-2.
Absolutely.
And I don't think they're going to reverse course on what their August strategy has been for the last bunch of years. Rube, one thing that they either deserve credit for, or it's luck, or it's both, they are very uninjured. I mean, I don't know if people have taken stock 10 games into the season where most teams have good players that are out for the year. I mean, Ruben, AJ missed a couple, Goddard missed a couple, Mulata missed a couple. I'm sure I'm missing
Lane,
one or two.
Lane missed one.
Yeah. But I mean, Ruben, but big picture?
Well, James Bradbury's still not back.
Oh, good point.
But I mean, Ruben, big picture, it's almost like 2022. They are in great shape approaching Thanksgiving.
And there's really a cause and effect with the way they practice, and people don't want to hear it, but there's a cause and effect being healthy when you're not killing each other in training camp.
And John, how do you take that, like knowing that you have advocated
and
for
former players hate it.
Yeah, so yeah. John, what would you make of that? Because I know it's been a major bane of your existence.
I mean, you start the season slowly. You're not good a month and a half late. I mean, you don't get good until about a month and a half into the regular season. How do you value that trade-off?
I mean, they should have been 3-0.
I'd rather be healthy. Like, I would. If you're asking me, would I rather be good at the end of the season and healthy or start hot?
But nothing guarantees.
Of course it doesn't, but you're weighing the – it's risk-reward on each side.
It used to be
if I have a choice, I would much rather be peaking at the end and be healthy. Like,
and it used to be you would err to the side of let's leave no stone unturned.
Yeah.
Now it's let's leave those stones unturned because we might get hurt if we try to turn them
John,
over.
John, we should ask Vermeil when he joins us on Friday because he's obviously been a staunch – He hates it, but does he amend his position based on seeing the team be healthy and 8-2? Two different issues. Healthy and 8-2.
Well, that's the point. You are healthy, but you're a worse team. If you could have the best of all worlds where you're a prepared and healthy team, that is the ultimate goal. How do you toe that line?
All right, 8-2.
I watched a practice with Vermeil last summer, and he said, I couldn't coach. I could not coach today.
No, we'll ask him on Friday. I mean, I tend to think he's going to not like it, but I also know he's an incredibly smart guy, and he knows 8-2 and healthy is a great spot to be in.
And
so,
things always change in sports.
All right, let's go to the phones. Mike Quick joins us in about 2 minutes. Matt in Old City right now. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, morning, Joe. Guys, how are you?
Good, buddy.
Doing great.
Good. I just wanted to bring up last time I called in that, I talked with Rhea, and she asked, or the question was, you know, who or what do you want to see get out? And my response to that was Doc Rivers. And I got called harsh that morning. So sometimes the tough thing to hear is the correct thing to hear.
Oh, of course. Is this a trade Embiid call?
It's not a trade Embiid call. It's a defend Embiid call.
Wow, that's a shocker.
What
right.
a twist.
All right, go ahead. Okay. This is like the usual suspects.
I didn't see this coming.
Go ahead.
The agenda thinks that is a non-issue. You guys just said it. Would you rather be healthy at the end of the year with a full Embiid or, you know, have him go out there, you know, starting game one, scoring 30 points a game, and then his knees can't hold up come playoff time?
Well, I'll say this, Matt. They better make the playoffs just to justify any strategy.
And they're 2-11 in an 82-game season.
I know. In a week, East. But it is – like, Matt, let me ask you a question. I do get your point. But I wonder, is there end game Embiid plays 40 games? And if so, do they make the playoffs if he plays 40 games?
I would hope so. I would hope Nick Nurse,
yeah, but
Max,
they might.
Paul
you know what?
Could figure but, it out enough.
But Matt, here's part of why they might not. Watching that game the other day, Paul George and Jimmy Butler, who would you rather have? You know what I'm saying? Like, Paul George ain't the old Paul George. He's
that's
just
fair.
Not.
He is the old Paul George.
Yeah, he's yeah. That's right.
That's fair. But you get Paul George to be Paul George with Joel Embiid. You don't get Paul George to be, you know, leading the team by himself.
Oh, that's
so
the hope.
You gotta wait to see how this team plays healthy, which hopefully will come soon.
When will that happen?
Yeah.
We've all watched Joel enough to know that in time he'll hopefully get out there again. Hopefully.
Hopefully,
but,
yeah.
You know, we can't just jump the gun.
Okay.
13 games into
all right,
season.
Matt, I want to get to Mike Quick, who's waiting for us. Give me a great answer. What was wild in sports on this, the anniversary week of that Malice at the Palace in Auburn Hills 20 years ago?
Absolutely. I got Randy Johnson firing a fastball.
Waiting all show.
Yeah, Randy and the Bird is a great answer. By the way, you can be here at Chickies and Pete's today. We're at the South Philadelphia location. Broadcasting the station is till 7 o'clock tonight. And then remember, celebrity bartending from 6 to 8 tonight. That'll include Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulata as celebrity bartenders. Get to Chickies and Pete's for the holidays. Makes for a great gift, obviously, gift cards. Tremendous gift. Always fits. And, hey, you can buy it in person or online at chickiesandpetes.com. Seltzer, let's talk to Mike Quick as we do every single Wednesday.
Mike Quick, sponsored by the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. BetParks.com. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So Mike had been a weekly guest of our show every Wednesday at 9:10. We appreciate him moving his time up to a weekly spot at this time, right around 8:45 every week. A lot of Eagles to talk about. And, Mike, we might just be doing it with you into February this year. Good morning, pal.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I mean, so Mike, this 8-2, it feels different to me than other 8-2s. I don't feel as confident as I did in 04, 17, or 22. They had a record thereabout. But they're really trending in the right direction. What do you make big picture? I mean, one of the things we were discussing today out of the shoot is, are they definitely a great team? What would be your answer to that question?
Yes. When you look at the landscape of the NFL, if we focus in on the NFC, they are probably in the top two teams in the NFC. And if they continue with the formula that they have, and I think they will and can, we may be still talking in February, and that would be wonderful. I would love that.
And what about the Rams? How do they factor into the power structure in the NFC? And the Commanders, too, because it felt like they were supposed to be really good, and maybe we knocked them down a peg, and now they're a tier below us.
Yeah, but I think they'll be right back. I think that's a really good football team down there. Dan Quinn, their head coach, I just think is outstanding, and he surrounded himself with a lot of really good, experienced NFL coaches. So you know the defense is going to be a good defense. That young quarterback down there, he's not going to go away. He's just going to continue to get better and better. So they still, I believe that they will still be a factor when it all boils down. But
well, that's not good.
It's not. So we're going to have to see this young kid for a long, long time. And I just think he's going to continue to get better.
Mike,
then what about the Rams, our opponent this week? Their quarterback's nothing to sneeze at either. Matthew Stafford, an incredible arm. I think Matthew Stafford gets undervalued by people like Joe DeCamera, who look at him and say, but he played for the Lions back when the Lions
were
terrible.
It was a lot of losing.
Yeah,
it was.
Listen, Matthew Stafford is a really good quarterback. He's 36 years old. He's seen everything. And I thought last week he was fantastic. He threw for 4 touchdowns, almost 300 yards passing, no blemish. That offensive line that they have, they do a pretty good job of protecting him. But he also makes them look good because he can get the football out, and he knows where his answers are when you're taking things away. So he's not going to take hits. He's not going to take many sacks. When you've been around that long, you've seen a lot. And with the two wide receivers that he has, they're healthy now. They are not an easy out. They're a tough out.
You know, so, Mike, one of the things that it's just been an enormous riddle, why do they finish fast but can't start fast? It's 10 weeks now. Do you have any explanation for why they start so slow on offense?
You're talking the Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles offense. Because it's not the defense. The defense keeps them in games. But, yeah, what is up with this?
I heard a conversation with the head coach of the Rams, and they have the same issue out there. There's no one answer for it. There's a number of things that will happen throughout the course. But the real important thing is that they get it right. The real important thing is if you don't win the first quarter, you win second, third, fourth quarter. If you're winning the fourth quarter, many times you're going to win in the National Football League. And in one-score games, I heard someone telling you a couple of days ago the record that Nick Sirianni has in one-score games, and it's phenomenal.
So we are depending upon a couple young rookies in our secondary to really be the last line of defense, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. Now, there's going to be a rookie wall hit at some point here, isn't there, Mike? What do we do about that? How worried should we be about the rookie wall? Because we got two rookies that are a major part of how well our defense is doing.
I really believe that that's more a concern when you work in the trenches. I think if these guys continue with their weekly routine of trying to get their bodies back to where it needs to be, whatever they are doing now, that they're able to continue doing that, I think they'll be fine. There's going to be, you know, a lot of these guys now, they play in extra games in college, so there's certainly the chance of the rookie wall, but I just believe that the way these guys are training now, it's a little bit different than what we've known, and I do believe that that is more a factor in guys that are in the trenches and not so much the guys outside.
And Cooper DeJean didn't even play the first 4 games.
Yeah, and missed most of the training camp. Incredible. And
that's a really good point.
Thank you, John.
When you're 23 years old, I don't see why you could run. Why you would get tired? I never got tired when I was 23 years old.
Yeah, you were in a training camp though.
Well, that's true.
I did. I hit the rookie wall hard when I was 23.
Well, Jalen Carter really hit it hard last year. I thought he would. No, this might be to your point in the trenches, but I thought he was dominant in the first half and pedestrian in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. I think he ran out of gas. And I think even Jalen and Jordan, I think they're learning how to train a whole lot better now. They've got better support around him, and I think that's going to pay off.
Hey, Mike.
Jalen Carter played every snap Thursday.
That was unbelievable, by the way.
How about that?
It doesn't happen last year.
It's so awesome.
It basically doesn't happen. I mean, it's outrageous.
It happens when you're a stud.
Well, and young, typically. I mean, you don't do that to old Fletcher Cox. Hey, Mike, does it bug you that Saquon Barkley isn't higher on the list for league MVP and voting odds? I mean, it's just stupid that he's not, right?
Yeah, but I think that is usually a spot that's reserved for quarterbacks. And I think as time moves on, as the Eagles play in more of these primetime games and more people start to see him, more of the people that matter start to see him, I think that his name will move up that list because the reality is the offense goes through Saquon. That's where this team is right now.
Yeah,
it sure I'm a voter. Is. I'll vote for him if he deserves it.
Ruben, how many voters are there?
I don't even know. Maybe 40.
Is it a couple per city? Is it like what's the?
There's one per city, and then there's like some at-large guys.
Wow, only
40. I'm not sure exactly how many.
So, are you the only one that's a voter here in Philly?
I think I am.
Good for you, man. Yeah, that's a distinction.
These other guys around the country, they don't always.
Did you have to like predate? Did you have to like weed other voters out?
Did you go in the octagon? You guys fought it out?
I don't know.
Yeah, was it like a contentious?
Like you stab McClain and then
you're the lone survivor.
And then you see Les Bowen and you come off the top turnstile and you crack Les Bowen's ribs.
Paul Domowicz used to do it and he retired. I don't know.
You're the last one. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
you know,
awesome.
Rube, it almost makes it sound like John's calling you old because that is
almost.
You.
Almost.
No, I'm not.
Hey, Mike, wonderful having you at the event last night, obviously. That was special. I know Otho was a major part of helping you and a lot of players through the years. And always a special event, that banquet.
Joe, you did a fantastic job last night. If you guys haven't seen Joe on stage, it's pretty cool to watch. He's not quite.
Was there dancing, Mike?
Well, no, that wouldn't work for Joe.
No. Mike, I appreciate it, man.
Only you're singing, no dancing.
You're right very, there. Very kind, Mike, and it was special and great seeing so many of the players. All right, Mike, stay well, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being a big part of the show.
Take care, guys.
There he
Thanks,
is,
Mike.
You know, Joe, he was complimenting me, and you cut him off. Why'd you have to do that? I wanted to hear what the rest was going to be.
Well, because I didn't want to hear
we
that.
We don't need
anymore.
Your head any bigger.
No.
Yeah, we do not. Yeah, we heard several times what a great job he did last night.
It's like, all right, we get it. All right.
Yeah, but
it's
extra
MC,
credit's coming.
No, hold on,
it's not
Mr. Good
MC.
At it.
It's
okay.
It's MC Hammer.
Yeah, right, Mr. Yeah. MC Hammer.
Did they introduce you as MC Hammer?
They probably should, now that I think about it. All right, Merrill Ridge joins us early. Rube, let's get an answer here. Eagles-Rams... Who wins the game?
I think it's a tough game. I have the second best record on the road since Nick started, half a game behind the Chiefs. I think they go out there and win the game. I really do. I think it's going to be played in the high 20s. I don't think they're going to totally shut down Stafford and those receivers, but I think Eagles get out of there with a win.
Love it. Hey, Rube, thanks for being here today, my man. Great stuff.
All right, guys, anytime.
Rube and Frank, of course, NBC Sports Philadelphia and our own here at WIP. As we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's, the broadcast continues. Birds at the Half, benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. A portion of the proceeds today, of course, on all crab fries sold, will be donated to the Travis Mannion Foundation. The legend, Merrill Reese, joins us for the 9 o'clock hour. He's next. Your phone calls as well on a great day. Other than to be a Sixers fan, that is. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Birds at the Half, Chickies and Pete's in South Philly.